Remy, this is Greg Ken calling.
Greg Ken, how are you, man?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing good. So great to have you on my phone here. Appreciate it, man. First off, we had a we got a couple mutual friends in common. The late great Ton Mastery, one of my best friends from years ago.
Oh, geez, yeah. Ton was a fantastic person.
She produced your Jeopardy video back in the day.
That's right, and she hailed from Minneapolis, of course.
That she did. Yeah, yeah. We actually came to know each other in Los Angeles at KNAC. With another friend of yours, Lobster.
That's right. Paul Lobster. Yes, of course. And then what was her sister's name that was in the video with me?
Kara Mastery.
Wow. You got that. Oh, man. It's great to hear from those guys.
Yeah.
And I mean, besides Ton House, is Kara still around?
Kara is still around. Yeah, we talk frequently. We're friends on Facebook. She's been pushing a Ton Mastery documentary that she has had in the works for years now. So maybe that'll see the light of day pretty soon. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. And yeah. and that would be fantastic. Jeez, please tell her I said hello. I miss her all the time.
I will definitely pass that along. Another kinship, yeah. Greg Ken, that we share. Is that you're a radio guy, too? I guess that's why you're so on time. I mean, your punctuality is impressive.
Yes, I called you exactly on time today.
You did.
Yeah, you know what? I used to hate it when people would be like 5, 10, 11, 12 minutes late. You know, you're like, hey, I'm sitting around here waiting for Ringo Starr to call. What's the problem?
I'm right there with you. Yeah, you've been on the air in the Bay Area for the last 20-plus years in addition to to being a world-class musician and rock star.
Well, everybody says, this is your first studio album of original material in 20 years. Where the hell was you? Well, I was on the radio. And as you know, if you're doing a morning show, you're getting up at 4 a.m., you don't have a life.
Exactly, man. Yeah, totally. Yeah. You don't have any time to do anything else.
No, and that's why I didn't tour for 20 years or do anything. Now we've got nothing but time, and it's great. Go in the studio. In fact, we're already working on the next studio master, the next album.
Really?
We're already, yeah, we got 3 cuts recorded already for the next one. So I tell you, we came out of the gate just motivating, man. It was great to be back on the road again with my band. I got a real good band with my son.
Your son's playing guitar. Who he replaced Joe Satriani, pretty much, right?
Well, there's some pretty big shoes to fill there. He wore like a triple 18 wide.
I believe. Yeah, that is that's a hard gig to get right there, man. Hey, wow.
Listen. We used to make fun of, I had known, you know, it's a long story because Joe Satriani was a Berkeley guy,
mm-hmm.
and the Greg Kinn Band was a Berkeley band. And we had asked him way back, like back in the 70s, if he would join the band. And he was in a band called The Squares.
Okay.
And he said, no, I can't. I'm still loyal to my band, The Squares. So 10 years go by. I asked him again. Nope, he said, no, I'm still in the Squares. I can't do it, you guys. And then a couple of years later that, when we were on EMI, mm-hmm. I said, how about now, Joe? And he goes, all right, why not? What the hell?
So that's 1986, so basically, right?
That was about, I would say 86, yeah. 87, 88. And then he was gone for his solo career.
Yeah, the next year, 87, was when Surfing with the Alien, his debut, came out.
Surfing with the Alien was a huge hit. Yeah. I remember running into him all that year saying, you know, where'd you go? Where did you go, man? Go on, Joe, what's up?
And look at him now. I mean, after that, he actually did Mick Jagger's solo tour.
That's right. Yeah. And he said a couple of nice things. He said, working with Greg Kinn was a lot like working with Mick Jagger. You didn't know when, I was famous for jumbling up the set list and throwing stuff out at guys that they didn't know.
Right.
Let's face it, it was more fun that way. Same thing with Mick. He used to throw in old songs, Stone songs that hardly anybody knew. And it, you know, just to see if he could screw everybody up.
And you know this firsthand because the Greg Kinn Band opened for the Stones at one point, right?
That's right, yeah. Yes. And that was, that was one of my finest moments because Bill Graham was the guy that introduced me to him. And,
oh, wow.
He was, you know, I hung out in their dressing room for like, you know, a couple of hours before they went on. Mm-hmm. They get there way early. And, you know, we were sitting around, and everybody was smoking. You know, back in those days, I think it was 86, 85.
Right.
Everybody smoked. I smoked.
Of course.
In those days. And, you know, all the Stones are smoking like chimneys. So I turned to Mick Jagger and I said, "Hey, Mick, could I have a cigarette?" I'm bumming a cigarette from Mick Jagger.
Bumming a smoke from Jagger. It don't get cooler than that, man.
Yeah, and he hands it to me. He goes, "Here, man, have the whole pack." And he gives me the pack. And I realized every guy in the band had a rider, and on the rider, in the backstage rider, was a carton of cigarettes for each guy.
For each one. They could afford it, I guess.
Right. Like they could, like they were going to actually smoke 1,000 cigarettes. Yeah. At a gig. Hey, listen. I'm
sure Keith tried.
Well, all I could say is I was very flattered to get the cigarettes. I go back to my band room.
Right.
And my guys are going, "You met the Stones, you scumbag, we hate you, we're never going to talk to you again." And I go, "Yeah, I met the Stones, and Bill introduced me, but I have the sacred cigarettes of Jagger right here in my pocket." And those guys went, they thought they were joints the way they smoked them. They were sucking on them, and oh my God.
Oh wow, man, that's awesome.
They lasted about 20 minutes.
And this all happened in San Francisco. That's where, yeah. I mean, you're from Baltimore, but then you moved there in 72 where it all came together for you.
That's right. And, you know, my kids were born here. My son, who is now the lead guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's been, I have been part of the scene here because, you know, the Northern California scene and the Southern California, they're totally different.
Oh, yeah.
Southern California, you know, you got a lot of glam rock, and it's like you're really the Sunset Strip,
sure.
You know, Guns N' Roses, that kind of thing, Poison. Whereas over here in the Northern California, there's less competition. Everybody's friends.
Right.
You know, like I was real good friends with Huey Lewis in the News, mm-hmm. and Steve Miller and the Doobie Brothers and Journey and all those guys. And when we would go on the road, we opened for most of these people.
Mm-hmm.
We'd go on the road. It was, you know, they treated you like equals. They didn't treat you like, you know, the guy that was going to be cleaning up after they left, you know.
Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? I mean, that's the way it should be, but yet it's not.
And I can understand in L.A., everybody's from a different place.
Yeah.
So they all come in together, and there is a lot of competition. You know, the Hanoi Rocks is... They hate, Poison.
Yeah,
Poison,
exactly.
This guy and this, and you know, back in San Francisco, it's not like that. It's a lot more of a camaraderie.
It always seemed like a big community, even going back to the Summer of Love time. Is when
it was the esprit de corps that really, and that's what made the place special.
Yeah.
There were a lot of clubs. I remember when we first came here, we thought, "Wow, there's a lot of clubs." Keystone Berkeley, Keystone Palo Alto, the Long Branch, the Gilman Street. I mean,
that's where Green Day came out of.
At least a half a dozen major clubs right here in the Bay Area. And, you know, you drove down to Santa Cruz and you found the Catalyst and places like that.
So yep.
we had a lot of places to play when we were coming up. And, you know, even before we had Hit Records, we already had a kind of a following in the Bay Area.